Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
We talked for a couple of weeks about God's plan to counter anxiety. Let's recap that just a bit. Philippians 4th chapter. Verses 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness or graciousness be known to all men. The Lord's at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, or in addition, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, and that virtue is moral excellence, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So we talked about that there's a progression here. We talked about there's a way to deal with anxiety, that God doesn't want his children anxious. He doesn't want his children filled with fear. How many of you have children? How many have kids? Does it ever bother you when you see your children anxious and full of fear? I mean, that's never, as a parent, you never want to see your kids nervous and upset and full of fear. Well, our Heavenly Father's a better parent than we are. And so he doesn't want his children anxious and full of fear, but he tells us some things that we have to do because we live in a world that is full of fear. It's just all around us. And it's in the environment. So we had to do some things to counter that. So we said, one, to rejoice, to identify as a person who rejoices in the Lord. I'm just a rejoicer. I don't know if rejoicer is a word, but if it's a good word for you to identify with. I'm just someone who rejoices, someone who praises the Lord. I've heard people say, well, Alan, I'm just not expressive. Well, change. Because with the Lord, you want to be expressive. Are you going to hit heaven and stand before the throne and go, you know, sorry, Father, I'm not expressive? No, no, no. One, your nose is probably going to be on the floor. And then when you get up, you're going to be nothing but grape. We're probably for the first time we get in heaven, we're going to be walking around the whole time going, oh, just thank God, praise God, glory to God. I'm glad, just glad to be here. Then we're going to see people and go, whoa, I didn't think you were going to make it. Don't look around, guys. Straight ahead. Straight ahead. So rejoice. Identify as a person who rejoices in the Lord. And one thing that does is also it will shift your focus to the positive as opposed to the negative. When you're rejoicing in the Lord, it will cause you to shift. And so you can begin to change your focus. Number two, be gracious to the people around you. Yeah, I love how you respond to that. This is always identify as a person who is gracious and kind. We have the capacity, but if you stop and think about it, that's how the Lord is. He's not asking us to do anything he wasn't. He was gracious to people. He was kind to people. He said, well, he wasn't gracious and kind to the Pharisees. Yeah, but he was to everyone else. In fact, Jesus was the one, if you'll notice, Jesus was the only one who treated women with dignity. He treated them well. He treated the poor well. He treated lepers well. He was gracious to people. And you say, well, they don't deserve it. Yeah, you're right. Neither did you. And I didn't deserve it. And so we're gracious to people. The Lord's at hand. And we're representatives of him. The third one is, we talked about this last week, particularly don't worry, pray. Asking God who loves you to help you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. And sometimes, and again, if this is new to you, you may have to catch yourself and go, oh, I've just been worrying. You know, worry can be a habit. It can be a habit. And if you were raised by worriers, then it can just be part of your life. And we'll talk a little bit about that tonight. But a lot of the things we do, we almost do unconsciously. More is caught than taught. And so you'll find yourself doing some of the very same things your parents did or your upbringing, how you were raised. And so if you were raised around people that worry, you tend to worry. It can become a habit. But here's the great news is it's a habit you can break. And so that's the good news. And when we talk about these things tonight, we're talking about things that may have been part of your life, but they don't have to be part of your future. And they may have been part of your life, but we need to begin to separate ourselves from our thoughts. That just because I think this doesn't mean I am that way. And so we talked about worrying. We talked about asking God who loves you and then to thank Him for the answer. So we're thanking Him even before we see an answer. And that's just a good, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. So this is something that we can do. And then God's peace. I said it last week. I'm going to repeat it again. That peace is more of a sensing than a feeling. It's something you kind of pick up on the inside more than you feel it on the outside. A lot of times we want peace to be everything around us is peaceful and calm. We're like, okay, I'm just chill. But a lot of times you're in a situation where you can sense peace on the inside, even though on the outside things are frantic. And so God's peace is something that you can sense. His peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It's different from the peace that the world offers. That's why so many people look for peace, and they'll look for it in so many different ways. They'll try to just, you know, self-medicate. Some people use drugs. Some people use alcohol. Some people just use escapism, and they'll just escape trying to soothe themselves, trying to find a sense of peace. You know, sometimes you can just think, oh, I just need a mental rest. And you can, like, get on YouTube or something, and all of a sudden you look up 2 hours later, and you're like, I don't really know that I was able to soothe myself this way. And then you feel bad that you wasted 2 hours looking at people fall off of things and and kittens, you know, playing with yarn balls. You're like, I don't know that was a great use of my time. But what it does, it's kind of mind-numbing. I had friends in college that just smoked pot all the time. Marijuana. Do they still call it pot? I don't even know if they still call it pot. Call it grass, weed, reefer. Oh, don't look so innocent. But they did it. It was always a set. They were just stoned all the time. And I think it really was more of an escape than anything else. It's like, I just feel such, you know, I just feel peace, man. I feel chilled. No, I used to smoke pot and get paranoid. Like I'd walk into places and everyone goes, everyone knows you're high, man. I'm like, you're like, should a pastor really be talking about this? Yes. Yes, because it's a false peace. It's a false peace. And it doesn't last. And after you've eaten 15 bags of Cheetos, it's not going to help you. The peace of God is a better peace. Here's where I'll begin to jump into. You begin to run thoughts through the filter. Whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report. Things that have excellence to them, value to them. You really want to start with, is it true? And so I say that, and as I was thinking about this, a poem came up in English in high school. I don't remember too many poems, but I remember one by Robert Frost called The Road Not Taken. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that's made all the difference. I want to talk about the less traveled road tonight for many believers, and it's the road of pulling down mental strongholds. See, the thing about it is you can come to church, you can hear, and where people get frustrated is they hear the gospel, but then they're living on this level. And the gap is what bothers people. I hear these things, Alan. How come these things aren't a reality in my life? I hear about the peace of God. I hear about God wants me blessed. I hear about how God is good, and yet I'm not seeing this in my life. And that's where things get frustrating. And so I want to talk about things getting frustrated, but there's some reasons why. When you're born again and you become a new creation in Christ, that's instantaneous. That is a spiritual change. And it happens. And a lot of times for adults, they feel like a huge weight just got lifted off of them. And they feel just a sense, oh my, and it's very exciting. But what we find out is there's also different components. We're not just spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. And so we're going to have to do something, because you may have gotten born again, but your mind and the way you think and your attitudes and think hasn't changed. And so this is why we have to change it. This is why you wonderful people are here on Wednesday night. It's how we talk about how to get things changed, transformed. Paul said, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be molded into this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so renewing the mind, though, is a process. And why I call it the road less traveled is because it requires some effort. You got to do something with it. In other words, you don't just hear a message and go home and go, well, that was good. That was one of the better ones. On the 1 to 10, that's 6.5, 7. But you go home and you go, you know, one thing stood out to me. I need to start thinking about that. I need to start applying that. Paul wrote the church at Corinth, and Corinth was a wild town. Corinth, man, they came out of some, it was the Las Vegas of its day. It was just what happened in Corinth needed to stay in Corinth. But it was a pretty wild and woolly place. He's writing to these Corinthians, and he says this in 2 Corinthians 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that's fleshly, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. Another word for that is imaginations or reasonings. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now that, the reason I call that the road less traveled is because that requires some work. That requires some effort. It's not like it's beyond our capacity. We just have to apply ourselves to it. I don't know about you. I don't want to live in the gap. I want what I read. I want my experience elevated to meet what the Scripture says belongs to me. There's some really good things that belong to us. And so I want to walk in that peace. I want to walk in that joy. I want to walk in that sense of not being moved by everything around me. So how do I get there? And so I call it an aggressive approach. It's recognizing the thoughts that are limiting or hindering you. Recognize the thoughts that are limiting or hindering you. Now, the beautiful thing about you coming on Wednesday nights is you hear scriptures, you hear things, and so you're able now, and maybe since we've been talking about this, have any of you said, I've started to recognize some thoughts in my life that aren't good and I need to get rid of? Anybody starting to see that? Good. Because if you don't recognize them, you can't get rid of them. The challenge is we've thought this way for a long time. And it's become a pattern. It's like a groove. And it's just a groove. And it's easy for your thoughts to go into that. Now, I won't, because I don't do any counseling, no biblical coaching, I don't know anybody's story, so I'll just tell you my story. I've told you I grew up in a very moody household. And if you were in a bad mood, it was like, well, mom's in a bad mood. We're like, oh, okay. Avoid mom. Stay away from mom. She's in a bad mood. Dad's in a bad mood. Everyone's in a bad mood. So I grew up learning to yield to bad moods. And I could tell you when a bad mood was coming on. I'm just hearing my thoughts starting to go that way. And so instead of resisting it, I just went that way. All my college roommates said, oh yeah, Alan, when he gets in one of his moods. I'm not happy about that, not proud about that. I will tell you this, it's changed. It's changed. You say, well, what changed? God just had mercy on you? When you became a pastor, did it stop? No. When I became a pastor, I had more opportunities. As I look among you. I had more opportunities. Yeah, you got more stuff going on. But if you think... There's a verse in Proverbs that says, where there are no oxen, the stall is clean. But much increase comes from the strength of an ox. When you have an ox, you have ox poo. Yeah. You get more done. When you have a big church, you have more poo. Did you just call us oxen? No, you're not oxen. What I'm saying is you have more opportunities. You have more things. And so it's not that you reach a place in life where everything is perfect. Please don't ever think that anybody you know, they reached a place in life where they never have challenges. Every believer you know has challenges. Every believer you know has problems. Every believer has some kind of mental strongholds they've had to deal with. So I don't mind telling you mine. So I'd be embarrassed to talk about smoking weed and having bad moods. Well, I'm free from both. That's the good news. And I've said this a long time. If you're looking for a perfect pastor that you can go, oh, there's my pastor and he's perfect, this ain't the place. And neither is any other church. None of us are perfect. We're all learning, we're all growing. Say, Alan, you're still pulling down strongholds? I am still pulling down strongholds. I was up praying this morning, minding my own business, and all of a sudden some thoughts came, and I went, hang on, those are insecure thoughts. Now, let me just be very frank with you. Most everyone you know is insecure in some area. This is why people get so upset when someone says something or dishonors them or does something. Most everyone you know is insecure in some area. And I had a thought, and it was an insecure, but I caught it. I snagged it, and I said, that's an insecure thought, and I'm not thinking that way, because I'm not insecure. I'm complete in Christ. So there's an answer. You catch it. Now, I talked with Joy about this, and she's going to allow me to tell her story a little bit. I okayed it with her, so don't think, oh, you're in trouble. Joy's dad left when she was a couple of weeks old. Her mom cried the first year she was born. She grew up in that. She and really her mom just, in a sense, her mom's in heaven now. But I can just tell you now, her mom emotionally abandoned Joy. And Joy grew up always being afraid of being left alone, which she was a lot, of being abandoned. And I remember when we got married, I said, honey, you almost have an orphan's mentality. And that had been a stronghold. I'm left. There's no one to help me. I'm alone. I'm going to make a mistake. I don't know what to do. Now, we were married for years. And I could not understand why she still, because I was faithful to her, I wouldn't leave. And she would tell you that. I know Alan won't leave me. I know we're good. But what the problem was that she had this stronghold, this mentality. So Joy is like me. She's been hearing God's word. She's been studying God's word. If you know her, she's the real deal. I've heard people say, is she really that way? She's really that way. She's a godly woman. I am so grateful for her. She is a wonderful, godly woman. She says one day she was confessing because she was dealing with such fear. If you've ever been abandoned, you deal with fear. And she was dealing with fear, and she was like, I've not been given a spirit of fear. I've not been given a spirit of fear. And she's like, it's almost like you're trying to beat that into your head. I've not been given a spirit of fear. And the Lord spoke to her and said, stop saying it afraid. What's the opposite of fear? And she said, it's trust. And she took a part of a verse, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And she just began to say, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I trust in you with all my heart. I trust you, Lord. Now, did it change automatically? No. But here's, I'll tell you nothing about my wife. She's the queen of repetition. Me and all the children know. She will repeat it until we get it. And there's actually some real biblical wisdom there. Because when you begin to repeat it and repeat it out loud, you begin to carve a new path. And her path was, I trust in you, Lord. Now, here's what she did. She started teaching that to the staff because she leads staff prayer. And she had the staff meditate on. She would have them meditate on and speak, I trust in you, Lord. I trust in you, Lord. And here's what would happen. They would say, oh, this situation happened, and I got this phone call, and all of a sudden I thought, I trust in the Lord. I trusted. What's happened? You're carving something new. Instead of thinking like an orphan, she began to think like someone who trusts in the Lord. But she had to do something. It wasn't me preaching to her. It wasn't hearing messages. It's when she began to say with her mouth, I trust in you, Lord. I trust in you, Lord. Just a part of a verse. We don't realize how powerful God's word is. It is powerful. Amen. It will change the way you think. It will change a stronghold that's been in your life forever. Because too many people are saying, well, I'm just, and you fill in the blank, I'm just a nervous person. I'm just fearful. I'm just a worrier. Listen, you need to stop identifying with things that are taking you down. You don't have to identify with them if God says you're different and He's promised you different. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so instead of hear to me for a second, I'm just so afraid. I'm just so nervous. I'm just so this. Stop. Stop. It's not helping you. So, but I feel this way. But I think this way. I get it. But who said that your feelings and your thoughts were the highest reality? God's word is the highest reality. And if God said He hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind, that's what I'm going to say. And what's going to happen is, if you begin to do this and you stay with it, you begin to pull that down. And you begin to realize, I don't have to be afraid. No, that's what I did with depression. That's what I did with bad moods. I would catch them and go, no, I don't have to live that way. I don't have a spirit of fear. I have a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. I don't have to. I've been complete in Christ. No. And you start to resist that. You replace with thoughts that are true on a higher level. Guys, I'm going to jump down to the last one to see. We are not at the mercy of our thoughts. I'm going to say that again. We're not at the mercy of our thoughts. Every time you think a thought, it doesn't necessarily mean that's you. It means that's how you've been taught to think. And sometimes stupid random thoughts can, you know that. We've talked about drive off the bridge. Driving over a bridge and the thought comes, drive off the bridge. You don't go, oh no, I'm going to drive off the bridge. No. You wouldn't be here. So you throw that thought down. That's not who you are. You don't identify there. So we begin to identify with what God has said about us. Joshua, 1st chapter, 8 and 9. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Have I not commanded you? This is God speaking to Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is God's instructions to Joshua. It needs to be, but you notice he said this book of the law, we could say God's word shall not depart out of your mouth. Now that doesn't mean you have to speak a scripture every time you open your mouth. It's going to be hard to order something at Whataburger if you only speak a scripture. You're going to have to say, no, I need a double cheeseburger. Hold the onions. You're going to have to speak something. But what it's saying is don't let God's word, don't say something contrary to. I'm so fearful. I'm just afraid. I'm just abandoned. No one loves me. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I'm a failure. You say, well, Alan, I don't say that. Yeah, but you think it. So you need to say something different. I'm loved of God. He loves me. Well, let me give you just a couple. So I'll give you a couple of verses. Ephesians. Go ahead and put those up, guys. Ephesians. You want to say something? For we are God's masterpiece. That doesn't sound like a failure to me. We are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. What are you going to say? I just have a messed up family. It's no wonder I'm messed up. My spouse is messed up. My whole kids are messed up. We're just jacked up family. Everybody's been jacked up in our family. We got generations of jacked up people. Or we can say, thank God we're God's masterpiece. He created us to have a home that's peaceful, full of love. You say, Alan, that's weird. No, it's not weird. It's different because we haven't been taught to speak that way and we haven't been taught to think that way. That's why we have to renew our minds and think something different. I'll give you another one. How about this one? Romans 8, 37. I like this one. This is New Living Translation. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. That is a great verse. So here's what you can do. You can take that one verse to show you how to meditate. Listen, when I say meditate, I know English, Asian, Eastern, yes, Eastern thought is empty your mind. Mindfulness sometimes can be empty your mind. Biblical meditation is not emptying your mind, it's filling your mind. And it's filling your mind with what God's word is. So would you put that verse back up there? So you can just take that verse and after you read Bible 365, because good, right. After you read that, you could just sit there just for a minute and say, Lord, thank you. Despite all the things that have happened to me in my life, overwhelming victory is mine. I am victorious over sin, over sickness, over sadness, over sorrow. I'm victorious over my past. Overwhelming victory is mine. Because Jesus, I'm in Him, and He loves me. I'm loved. Oh, thank you, Lord, I'm loved. It doesn't matter what my ex says. I'm not kidding, God. I'm loved. I'm loved by God. I'm loved of you. I'm in good shape because I'm loved. Overwhelming victory. I have victory over that boss that I don't like. I have victory over a situation at work. I have victory. I'm not dominated by fear. I'm not dominated by anxiety. I have victory. Thank you, Lord. Victory is mine because I'm in Christ and He loves me. You're just kind of taking that and you're kind of just muttering it to yourself. Actually, that word meditate means to mutter. And you're just muttering it to yourself. You can see why I call this the road less traveled. Not a lot of people, maybe we don't teach it enough, but not a lot of people do it. But what we're learning is, and what's happening is, science is catching up with the scriptures. And science is telling us that if we begin to speak, and they talk about just speaking positive words, that it will begin to change neuroplasticity. It changes the actual channels in your brain, and you begin to think differently. And what we're doing is we're changing our mind with God's word. And we're using our imagination. Listen, imagination is from God, not from the enemy. And so when we're imagining ourselves
being strong, being victorious, not responding in fear, not responding in anger, not responding in hurt, getting past the things that hurt you in the past. And we're just grateful that victory through Jesus. So thankful for Jesus that we're in Him and we're united with Him. He's the vine, we're the branch. Thank you, Lord. You see what I'm doing? I'm just kind of running like that. And you do it day after day. Day after day. And it begins to get in your thinking, begins to get in your heart, begins to change. That's how transformation takes place. But we got to do something about it. You say, well, that sounds like work, Alan. It is, but it's worth the price. And the peace is worth it, and the effort is worth it. So, is there an easier way? I don't think there is. But here's the thing: if you begin to go that direction, it's like anything else. You start to become accustomed to it, and it becomes easier and easier to do. But you'll have to settle yourself down, get quiet, get your mind quiet. But then you can take that verse. You can be driving to work, just going, thank you, Lord. Despite all these things, despite how I was raised, despite my background, despite my past, overwhelming victory is mine. I am victorious in Christ because He loves me and I'm loved. And if I'm loved, and if I'm in Him, and if I'm victorious, nothing will stop me. Nothing will stop me. And that begins to change. And then when things and what's going to happen is you're going to find yourself responding differently. Because now you're not identifying as a nervous, fearful person. You begin to identify as someone who is loved, someone who's victorious in Christ. Identity is strong. I'll talk a little bit more about it next week. It's strong. It's a place of strength, because when you begin to identify as a victorious person in Christ, then it makes it easier for you to respond that way, to act that way. You're not trying to get something. We are something. God told Joshua, he said, the book of the law, this, we could say this word, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do, that you may see to do. And when we begin to meditate with the scriptures, we're not just seeing to do, but we're seeing to be. We're seeing who God made us and what He made us. And He didn't make junk. He made a masterpiece. And when you stand before Him, He's not going to look at you and go, you know, I am sorry. I had a lot of good ones and you just happened to come out bad. We're going to find out, oh, Lord, You made me a masterpiece all along. I just needed to buy into it. We can do that. We can do that because we have the capacity. We have the Holy Spirit to help us. He'll guide us. Ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what's the truth on this? Help us think that way. You'll appreciate this. Joe and I were dealing with something. She got up the other day and she said, I had an eagle song come to me. Now, this is very strange for my wife. We never agreed on music, but we agreed on the Eagles. If you don't know the Eagles, they were one of the 70s and 80s greatest bands. And in the last great decade of music. But no, she said, I had this come up in my heart. She said, I've got a peaceful, easy feeling. Anybody remember that one? Yeah. So we changed the words of it. You want me to sing it? Yeah. You asked for it. I got a peaceful, easy feeling, and I know God won't let me down, because I know I'm already standing on holy ground. Now, she came up with that. We sang it all day. You say, you changed the words. You doggone right I changed the words. But what I'm saying, the Holy Spirit can tell us how to think about something. We were dealing with a negative situation, and He knows music.
I got a peaceful, easy feeling, and I know God won't let me down because I'm already standing on holy ground. That was my first and last solo, so just enjoy it, Wednesday. You ain't coming, anybody. Bow your head for a second. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for hungry hearts and willingness to listen. Thank you for what you've given us, the capacity to change, transform by the power of your word, by your spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You have not left us. You have not left us without recourse. We have help. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you came this evening or you're watching online, you said, you know, Alan, I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord. I'm just not sure, and I want to be, or I used to, and I know I need to come back. Would you pray for me? We're not going to have you stand up or come to the front, but we will pray. If that's you, would you slip your hand up just real high and wave it at me and say, yeah, good. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Thank you. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand, you wanted to, but you can pray this prayer with us. We're going to pray it out loud with you as a church family. If you're watching online, just pray it with us. If you're by yourself, out loud, if you're with others, quietly say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. With heads still bowed, Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer, for those online, those here. Thank you for change that takes place on the inside. We give you all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.